friends and family of Vineyard and everywhere, people watching, we are so excited to share some good news with you today. And we are continuing our series on Far Above today. It's the second part of the series today, and we're gonna just have a good time in the Word of God and see ourselves encouraged. My hope for you today is that you will be able to see yourself as a resurrected child of God, that you will see yourself as the person that God called you to be. And I hope that today's message encourages you and it shows you the real you on the inside. So today in the message Far Above, we have started our scriptures here in Ephesians 1, and I'm going to read for you out of verse 21 and verse 22. It says, Christ is far above all principality and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Now, if you look at this scripture, we can clearly see that Christ himself is far above all principality and power. He is the name that is above every other name. He has been lifted up, and he's not just a little bit above, but he is far above all principality and power. So what an exciting thing to know that our King, our Lord, is far above. But the question is, in many people's minds, is what does that really mean to me in this life? How do I operate in this life with my God being far above? But many times I feel so below that far above status because of the things I experience in my life, things I experience in this world, and just different kind of relationship issues, things that people go through in their finances, things that people go through in their health. A lot of things make us feel not so far as or far above as we actually want to be. So it says here in this verse 22, and has put all things under his feet. Now think about that. He's the head of the church, and the things that are put under him is under his feet. The rest of that verse says, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. The church is the body of Christ. And if things are under his feet, then it means it's under the body, which is us. Now I'm going to continue this train of thought out of Hebrews 2. And in Hebrews 2 verse 8, he speaks of the same thing also about the fact that things are under the feet of the church. Now, the title of my message that I want to give you today is this: Wow, Ain't She Something? I want to go through these scriptures with you, and I want you to realize who you are in Christ, so that when you look in this spiritual mirror — this Bible is your spiritual mirror — when you look in this spiritual mirror, you will see a reflection of you in Christ in this Bible, and you will say, Wow, ain't she something? We are the bride of Christ, and we are something. Now listen to what he says in Hebrews 2 verse 6. He says, but one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. Now listen to this. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Now when we listen to the scripture, many times we get confused and we think it's only talking about Jesus. But this is quoting out of Psalm 8. And it clearly says, what is man, that you are mindful of him, or the son of man? So this is definitely talking about us, man. This also talks about Jesus, because it's under his feet and we are his body. So it says man and son of man, but it really talks about us. So it says that you visit him. What are man that you visit him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. That is also the word Elohim, if you go in the original language, and it talks about God himself. But never mind that right now. You crowned him with glory and honor. That means we are crowned with glory and honor. and set him over the works of your hands. We have been set over the works of God's hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. So all things are under our feet spiritually, for in that he put all in subjection under him, under man, he left nothing that is not put under him. So nothing is not put under the feet of man. But now he says something interesting. He says, but now we see not yet all things put under him. So when you look in the natural realm, when you look around today and you see what is happening in the world, it certainly feels like all things are not under our feet. It feels like Corona is not under our feet yet. It feels like your finances are sometimes not under your feet. It feels like sickness and poverty and things that are going wrong in this world is not always under our feet. And the reason why it's not under your feet in your heart is because we are looking in the wrong place. We are looking in the natural realm. And in the natural realm, things are not as under our feet as we want it to be. Why? Because we are actually consumed with what's going on in the natural realm. So in the between verse 8 and verse 9 in Hebrews 2, Paul makes a switch. Paul makes a big switch. And he actually says the following words in verse 9. He says, but we see Jesus. So in the natural realm, all things might not be under your feet, but we see Jesus. That means at that moment, seeing all things not under our feet, and then suddenly making a switch to the supernatural realm, where we realize we don't have to look at ourselves, but we have to see Jesus. And when we see Jesus in, we see ourselves in Jesus, then all things are becoming under our feet because it's under his feet. So it says here in Hebrews 2, it says, but we see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Jesus was made lower than the angelic realm, than the supernatural realm. He had to come down to earth. Why? For the suffering of death. In heaven, there is no suffering of death. But here on earth, there is suffering of death. Here, people die. And if Jesus just stayed in heaven, he couldn't have died. Because in heaven, people don't die. So it says, but we see Jesus, who was made lower than the heavenly realm, for the suffering of death. For this purpose was the Son of God sent to earth, so that he can die here. Because if he didn't die for us, our physical sin, everything we did on earth, could not be redeemed. Okay? So in heaven there's no death. He had to become in the form of a human to die physically. It continues in Hebrews 2 verse 9, and it says, he was crowned with glory and honor. Now, this can also be translated, he was crowned with dignity and self-worth. You know, Jesus' character, his inside, was so consumed with who he was in God that he was crowned with glory and honor. But many of us read this and we go like, but aren't we also crowned with glory and honor? Aren't we also crowned with dignity and self-worth? Yes, you are. Because why? You have to see yourself in Jesus. If he is crowned with glory and honor, you are crowned with glory and honor. Because as he is, so are you in this world. 1 John 4 verse 17. You are like him in this world. And you are crowned with glory and honor. You are a glorious creature. You are because he is. And then it says in Hebrews 2 verse 9, it continues, it says that by the grace of God, he should taste death for every man. Now I want to read something to you out of a book called Spiritual Authority by a man named Charles Capps. He says here in about this verse, notice that Jesus tasted death for every man. What kind of death is Paul talking about? It must be spiritual death. If Paul was speaking of physical death, then no one would ever have to die physically. So if Jesus just died for physical death, then no one would ever have to die physically. We would all live forever. But Jesus didn't want that for us, because he didn't want us to live in a sinful condition forever. But there is a place where you live forever, and that is spiritually. You're going to spiritually be alive forever. So Jesus didn't just taste death as in physical death. He tasted spiritual death for each one of us, so that we can be spiritually resurrected. So God's grace carried him where he was left alone, spiritually dead. When Jesus died on that cross, he died for your sins, plural. Every single sin that you've ever done and that you are ever going to do. He died for the complete package of your sin. He died for every man's sin, physical sin. He died for pornography. He died for murder. He died for adultery. He died for drunkenness. He died for murder. He died for every single sin, physically, every single sin on that cross. The physical death of Christ was for the physical sin of man. But then after that, the Bible says in Isaiah 53 verse 9 that he made his grave with the wicked. That means after he died, he went down to hell. And he was spiritually separated from his father. And in hell, he was a spiritual dead man. I believe this is the reason why Jesus didn't want to experience this. And he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. And even the Bible says that he sweated teardrops of blood. Why? Because his whole heart, his whole being was encapsulated in a relationship with his father. He said, whatever I see the Father doing, that is what I'm doing. I live in a continual knowing of who I am in my Father's heart, in my Father's being. And that is the image that I'm portraying here. And for him to be separated spiritually from his Father was a much bigger punishment than just the physical death. You know, like in the book of Hebrews, it speaks of in Hebrews 10, in the beginning of Hebrews 10, it speaks about the fact that lambs and calves and goats could not take away the consciousness of sin. It could not take away that thought pattern of sin. It could not take away the root of sin. You know, they could take away physical sin for a while, but the root of sin still remained in people's hearts. So those animals that were slaughtered, it says that they were slaughtered year after year, because every time that those sins were taken away, then it will come back, because the root of the sin will still be there, because the root of a man was sinful. That's why when Jesus died physically for man's sins, plural, it was not enough. After that, he had to go to hell, and in hell, God raised Jesus from the spiritual death that he was entered into. When God looked down at hell, he had the full right to go down there and say, there's one man here who has never sinned before. And he's the only man that does not belong here legally. Now legally, I have the right to resurrect him out of hell. And that's how Jesus died spiritually. And because Jesus died spiritually, he got spiritual resurrection back into the identity which God intended for him to have. And the Bible says he was raised up, and he was given the name above every other name. And the fact is that you are in him. That time you were in him, and you were raised together with him, according to Ephesians. And you are now a new creation in Christ. So you are not only your sins have been forgiven, but also your sin nature has been changed. And you are now a brand new creature, a brand new spiritual creature. In Acts 2 verse 24, it says in the Amplified, but God raised him up, releasing him and bringing an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in death's power. So God himself went down there, and he went to get his son, and you were in his son. You were raised up together with him. Isn't that good news? By the grace of God, he tasted spiritual death, so you could be released from spiritual death. You have been released from spiritual death. Today, many of you might feel, oh, I'm not feeling good about my life. I'm not feeling good about the way I'm operating. There's certain things in my relationships that are not good. But I want to encourage you. You've been released from spiritual death. It's time that you stop looking at the natural realm and just be consumed about what's going on around you and start seeing Jesus. Start seeing Him for who He is and start realizing that you were in Him and you were raised from the dead in the same way that Christ was raised from the dead. You had a spiritual rebirth. You are a brand new person. When we live like that, when we have an understanding of that, our life becomes a resurrected life. I can give you so many testimonies of my own life where God has supernaturally done things because I started trusting the Lord, not just for the natural realm, but for a supernatural realm where I can tap into the supernatural resources of God. I want to encourage you that the supernatural resources of God is available to you. I, in my heart, have a conviction that I have a bank account in heaven. And when there's a need, I can go make a withdrawal, a spiritual withdrawal from my heavenly bank account. And that heavenly bank account will make a way for me where there seems to be no way. I want to encourage you today, maybe in your marriage, maybe in your finances, maybe in your health, there might be a feeling in your heart that there's no way out. I want to encourage you, there is a way out. There's a spiritual way out. God didn't just die for every physical thing. He died for a spiritual resurrection. And when you are resurrected spiritually and you believe it with your heart, there's a supernatural thing that happens. It flows from your spirit into your mind, into that mind that believes I'm right before God. And then it manifests in the natural. God can do supernatural miracles today like He did in the day when he was here. I want to go on in Hebrews 2. It says in verse 10, "For it became Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory." It says here that things are not just only under His feet, but everything is for Him and by Him, in bringing many sons unto glory. You see, all things are becoming for Him and by Him. That means everything is now accumulated in Christ Himself as He brings many sons unto glory. In Hebrews 10, in verse 13, it says that He is waiting for His enemies to be made a footstool. Why does He say that? It means that He's waiting because now in the natural realm, you are here. And as He is bringing you into glory, all things are for Him already, but it's also coming by Him. It means it is being used. Every spiritual power, everything here on this earth is being used for the glory of His children. You know, God is such an unselfish God. He's not sitting up there in heaven saying, "Oh, I'm the big boss. I have the name above all other names." No, He's looking at His children and He's saying, "These things will on earth will be put under my feet as my children are being raised to glory." God has a desire for you to walk in a glory that is unprecedented in this time. We are now in a time where people are so unsure, many things are wrong in this world. But I want to encourage you, God has empowered you to walk completely far and above all of that, because He is bringing His sons and His daughters to glory. It says sons because in Christ there's no Jew nor Greek nor male nor female. So you are a son of God whether you are a daughter or a son, because in Christ you are a son. You are like Him in this world. So even if you have a natural gender of being a woman, you are still a son, because in your spirit man you are like the Son of God. You are like Him. And God wants us to walk in the confidence of being like Him in this world. He is bringing many sons unto glory. But notice this, it says in bringing many sons. So while God is busy making all things work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. If you are called according to His purpose, which you are because you are born again, and you love God, He's working all things together for good to those who love Him. Why? Because He says in this process of bringing His sons to glory, all things are working together. That is why what it means, he says, by whom are all things? By whom are all things? All things are flowing through him to lift up his sons, to lift up his daughters. Then the rest of that verse says, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Why do we have a perfect God? We have a perfect high priest. We have a perfect high priest because Jesus didn't just die physically. He also died spiritually. You know, the calves and the goats, they only died physically. And when a physical thing dies, it can pay for physical sin. But Jesus died spiritually. And because he was a man born from God with a spirit in him, he had the capacity to spiritually die and be spiritually resurrected. And that's why he's the ultimate, the best, the perfect high priest. Because he could buy for you spiritual resurrection. It says here, for both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. Isn't that amazing? He says he's bringing many sons unto glory. And then he says he's the perfect high priest who also gave you spiritual resurrection. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all born of one. We are all born out of one bloodline. We are born of God himself. Wow, you are born of God. When God looks at you, he sees himself in you. And he says, wow, ain't she something? He says, she is beautiful. I just love looking at her. I just sometimes wish they could understand how beautiful they are in my eyes, how resurrected they are, how spiritually new they have become. It says, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. You know, when we have Jesus walking into a church today, and we would stand there in the middle of the church, and Jesus would come and he would stand right in the midst of us. He would take us by the shoulders. He will hold us. We will feel a bit unworthy because of what we have done. But he says, because he's the perfect high priest and he gave you a spiritual resurrection, he doesn't view you in the natural anymore. The Bible says in Romans 8, it says, to be carnally minded, to be naturally minded is death. Jesus is not naturally minded. He doesn't look in the natural. He looks in the spirit and he sees you as a spiritual resurrected person. Wow, ain't she something? He comes into that room and he grabs you and he stands next to you and he will stand there and he will say, wow, aren't you something? Because he's not ashamed to call you his brother. He's not ashamed to call you his sister because of that spiritual resurrection that happened on the inside. In the last part of Hebrews 2 verse 12, it says, saying, I will declare your name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto you. He says, I will come and stand right in between you and sing praise unto God. Why? Because of what he's done in these sons that he has brought to glory. I want to encourage you, my friend. You are something. Wow, aren't you something? When God looks at you, he says, you are a new creature, a beautiful person, somebody who's got resurrection power on the inside. In Ephesians 1, he says, that same power that raised Christ from the dead also dwells in you. You have the same ability that God has. It's time that we, as the body of Christ, start believing something different about ourselves. Not see ourselves as sinners anymore, but see ourselves as saved by grace, saved by the wonderful grace of God. It's only God that can give you that spiritual resurrection. Maybe you are sitting there today and you're thinking to yourself, I've never made that decision. I've never come to that place where I've decided to have a spiritual resurrection. I've never received Christ as my personal Savior. And I want to encourage you that the Bible clearly says in Romans 10, if you believe with your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead and you confess with your mouth that God has raised him up, you will be saved. You see, we need to realize that God raised him up and God can raise you up. So today, if you're unsure about the fact that you have been raised spiritually, I want to give you this opportunity to pray with me. Just in your heart at this moment, make a connection with God. This is not about me and you. This is about you and God. Make a connection with him and pray this from your heart. Just say, Father, I believe that you have raised from the dead to give me spiritual life, a new spiritual resurrection. And Lord, according to Romans 10, I now declare that God has raised you from the dead. And because you are raised, Father, I include myself by faith right now in that resurrection. And I say thank you, Father, for making me a brand new creature right now. I receive you as my personal Lord, as my Savior. I make you my God. And from today, I call myself a son of God, an inheritor of Jesus himself. If you just prayed that prayer, I want to encourage you. Something happened in your spirit. Something happened on the inside. Maybe you feel a bit excited now, but I want to encourage you. Something much greater happened than you could ever imagine. You became spiritually resurrected. As easy as that. The Bible says that when we do that, we should get baptized. We should make a time to get to believers and ask them to baptize us, because that is the burial service of your old man, but you've already been resurrected spiritually, brand new. So I just want to thank you today for listening and taking time out to come here. And I want to encourage you this week, when you look into your perfect law of liberty, this Bible in James, it says that when we look into this perfect law of liberty, you will look and you will see yourself, the reflection of yourself in the spiritual mirror. And remember these words. When God looks at you, he says, wow, ain't she something? You are highly favored and deeply loved of God.